This is a CBC podcast. This is a CBC podcast.
I haven't always been ethical in businesses or friendships, because if you sell one thing to a customer for an unfair price and do a fair price for another, it favors the customer which got the fair price, which is, you know, unfair. But in the last year, I've learned that the value of friendship and loyalty is much more than that of money.
This is Mic Drop.
It's about us.
Teens and our stories and what we've been through.
What we are still going through.
Without any adult interruptions.
Testing. Mic will drop in 5, okay. 4, 3, 2.
Drop the mic.
I've never held the mic before, and this feels good, actually.
I'm Huns. I'm 12 years old. It's been a really big year for me. This age really grants me the opportunity to be more independent. So it really makes me feel good about myself when I'm able to just kind of stay home alone and walk with my friends. My mom thinks I'm much more independent now. If I was like much younger, it'd be like, can I get this? Can I get that? But now, like, my mom expects me to buy my own things, and I'm much more careful with my money. It's like, okay, do I really want this? My business started early in the year. I was selling candy at school, which, let me tell you, it was a really bad idea. But, you know, I thought it was going to be a good idea. We had our business for 3 days. And we were making sales everywhere, like the schoolyard, like even some people out of school, the bus. And we had a big booklet with loose leaf paper. And to be completely honest, sometimes it was unfair prices. Like we would pay $2 for something and we'd sell it like for much more. But then again, I found that that's the way things work, you know. That same year, I also had a very bad lunch monitor. He'd get me in trouble for no reason. I wouldn't be talking to anybody. I wouldn't be doing anything. Like, I know a lot of kids say, like, I wasn't doing anything. But, like, 5 minutes ago, they were, like, punching somebody. They thought the lunch monitor didn't see it. I learned the hard way. They see a lot of things. One day in the schoolyard, I was with one of my best friends, and we had a big argument. And he tried to throw me down, and I grabbed him by the ear. I wailed on him. And I smashed his face into the snow. It was snowy. You know, it wasn't, nobody really got hurt. And it was over with pretty quickly. But right after that, I thought to myself, I was like, what am I doing? What am I trying to accomplish? Because how does that make anything better? But I still do fight for fun. Like, we like wrestle and stuff. Us boys in my school like to fight each other. It's like, I don't know, to prove how tough you are. And you're trying to prove that to the girls, but they don't really care. They think you're a bunch of idiots trying to fight each other. And oftentimes you get me in trouble. At one point, the attitude is like, I don't get paid enough for this. I try to forget things sometimes when I'm angry at something. Like, I just forget it. I don't think fighting is, like, a good idea. I mean, I've fought before, and it got me in a lot of trouble. And that's because of stupid mistakes that can easily happen. It only takes a millisecond for you to throw a punch and put on lifelong effects on you. So that's why peace is something very important to try to maintain in certain places. There's never really going to be peace everywhere, but in some places you can try to maintain an average, like, rhythm, so you're not having all-out warfare in your house, but arguments can sometimes happen. There's never going to be peace on Earth, but there may be places that are more peaceful than others. Like, Switzerland's a perfect example. They're very neutral. They developed the Geneva Convention, I think, which was Rules for Warfare, which are often abandoned nowadays. And it's kind of sad, but it's always in our nature to fight and attempt to take things. The world is poking at the bear, and there's never been peace. Like, our ancestors and stuff threw sticks at each other or stones. It's in our nature. It's always going to be like this. But back to my thing, was we were making that money, but we didn't have an established price. So one stick of gum could go for 25 cents, but this other guy would buy it in for 35 cents, you know, instead. But we'd give him something like a 25% off for your next purchase. And this candy business lasted for 2 days, and I got a call, and they wanted me to go to the office as I was walking home from school. I had really no idea what was going on, and they told me that I was really not allowed to do that, and that I was like a bunch of complicated words that I had no idea what they meant. Like, they made me feel like that I was some sort of like terrible person, but in actuality it was like I was selling candy, you know. But the way they made me feel after that, I really wanted to abide by the rules. I ended up thinking that the fairness of the customer and their trust in you nets you more money. Because if you're unfair or disloyal, you may not make as much money as they lose their trust in you. But if you do keep your fair play and that code in check, you may just net yourself quite a bit of money. 2 weeks later, I think, I started up a shoveling business. Now I do it on my street outside of school. And it saves my mom a lot of money. I make quite a bit of money. It's a very fair thing. It takes a lot of work. Because where I'm from, there's like sometimes 3 feet of snow outside and you gotta shovel that. When I started, I wanted to have like 15 people on my street. And in actuality, I only have like 5 or 6. There's a lot of organizing in it. Even if it doesn't seem like it, there's a lot of things to do. The way I organize my business is I have main clients and like sub clients. So if there's a lot of snow, I'll do it because it's worth it. But if there's not too much snow, I'll just do my clients. So I have like a base that I need to do. But if I want to, I can reach out and kind of grab some more clients. It doesn't snow all year where I'm from. So I want to start up another business. And I really don't know what I'm going to do yet. I want it to be less physical. I was thinking of baking or something fun, you know, like make cookies and I could collab with some people at my school. Again, this is not in school, it's outside of school. It's really hard to make money, and now I really know the value of money, so I'm more careful. I opened up a bank account, and I'm saving up to build a cage on my roof to have a falcon. I started learning about falcons in a book about knights when I was about 10 years old. Knights used to send messages from all across England and even France at times during wartime. If you've ever seen a falcon, they look like any average bird, but just much bigger, and their beak has a lot of curvature, and also their claws are much, much bigger. Their eyes are crazy. There's oftentimes a black silhouette, and it's often circling, and they're really high up, like you can barely see them sometimes. And they can see like a mouse. Their eyesight is crazy. Traditionally, falconry was a way to hunt with a bird. I don't really like that idea. I don't like another thing killing what I'm eating. I need to be 14 to get my falconry license. You know, when you're 10 or 11, it's hard waiting 4 years. Now I'm 12, so in 2 years, it would be possible to take the course. I would probably have a ladder where I could just get up on the roof and I'd be able to do drills with my bird of prey. These birds, they don't come back to you all the time. You gotta just accept that, because sometimes you're pulling them out of the wild, sometimes they're bred, but the traditional way of doing it, how I would do it, is you trap it and it comes to your house and it's all freaked out, but it's like a 3-week procedure. And at the end of that 3 weeks, the falcon gets to fly out without a harness and it can decide to fly away or come back until you find the right bird that was like, you know what, I kind of like it here. I think when I grow up, I need to be a good person, and everybody should. I don't think bad people think that they're bad people. And that's the problem. Because if you don't think you're a bad person, then where's the room for improvement? You know, you're always getting older, and you're always getting closer to death, which is kind of dark, but then again, you want to leave a legacy back here in this earth. Like, you did something good. You benefited the earth. Like, you helped.
This is Mic Drop.
Mic Drop is produced in Montreal by Sherry OKK and Carrie Haber.
For CBC Podcasts and PRX Tracks. Associate producer is Ellen Payne Smith. We'd love to hear from you.
Get in touch at cbc.ca/micdrop.
On Instagram, we're at CBC Mic Drop.
You can also reach us by email at micdrop@cbc.ca.
Or take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts so more people can find out about us. Bye for now.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.